Before we get started with this episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, let me talk to you about the Junkies League. This is the opening week of the PGA Tour season, the Century Tournament of Champions, and the Junkies League is back. Not the big guys on the podcast, the Junkies League. Kevin's Delight and company, Jesse, Randy, and crew. This is like the fifth or sixth year doing this thing. It's the original, it's the OG PGA DFS tournament. So come check it out. $100 entry. No, it's a free tournament each week. So many different segments, so many different ways to win. It's on at Junkies Contest, at Kevin's Delight, tweeting it out. Have your money in before the first ball tees off on Thursday, and you're good to go. So come check it out over there. Also, if you go on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Degens, got a lot of fun stuff coming up for you on the PGA Tour season. Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intric. Give a rating and review on iTunes for the podcast. It would help us out a ton as we are looking forward to a big 2020 golf season with you guys. But for now, welcome to the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2020 Tournament of Champions and a brief season preview.
Play. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. The last one and the first one, the last one of 2019, first one of 2020, depends on when you're listening to it. It's going to be a nice crossover as we enter the new season of PGA Golf. You can find the podcast on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. I am on Twitter at BDIntric. And my co-host, once again, on another journey down the PGA DFS rabbit hole, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, Jesse. How are we doing, my man?
Doing well, dude. This is kind of like Christmas Eve for golf fans. I feel like this time of year, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, we're past Christmas, but the real season kickoff is the Tournament of Champions. Even though it's not that fun to gamble on, it's still fun that golf is back for like every week now from till when? September? August?
I don't know. Give or take.
Yeah.
It goes hard and heavy until they get a slight break before the FedEx because of the Olympic – or after the FedEx is the Olympics and then the Ryder Cup. I don't know. There's a couple of breaks late in the year because we have a lot of stuff going on. So it'll be a fast-paced early go to the year, and then late in the season things will kind of slow down a bit. And I think because of the Olympics, that was kind of why they started to change the schedule to begin with to move things around a little bit. But we'll see how that all plays out. It'll be interesting, but you're right. This is kind of like Christmas, a little bit wet in our whistle a little bit here before a full field event next week in Hawaii, but this will be fun. 34 guys at good old Kapalua, which we have loved to watch and watch all these guys nearly drive holes and stuff. So it'll be a ton of fun. Before we preview the DFS for Century TOC, we'll give you a little mini season preview. We're not going to go super deep into stuff. Just give us some quick thoughts on things, and we'll just go straight to the fun part. Who do you think is player of the year, Jesse?
I've got Justin Thomas, for obvious reasons. He's playing really good golf at the moment. So, I can see him winning a couple tournaments this year, maybe a major or two, and getting the player of the year trophy, potentially even the FedEx Cup. My dark horse though is, Sung J.M.
I like that. I like that. That's our boy. That's our boy. So I'm a big fan of that. And hey, when I say stuff like that, I know other podcasts, tout guys. I'm going to go there. If anybody thinks they're the only ones that gets guys, well, they're wrong. But we've been on Sanjay from the get-go, so I like that call quite a bit. I love JT this year. I'm not going to disagree with you at all. I wouldn't be shocked if he wins it. I just wanted to be slightly different because I had a feeling one of us would have him, and I have a feeling a lot of people are going to have him. But my other guy outside of JT, I can battle him throughout the year. We've seen him battle him of late, especially in big events. I really think Xander takes that next step this year. He's been so darn close. I wouldn't be shocked. He's in one of my bold predictions, so I won't give it all away later. But I think Xander sneaks in and gets player of the year.
I like that. I mean, I could see that happening. He's got the ability to win some majors, and that's really what it takes is, you know, you got to win at least one major and then a couple other tournaments throughout the year. I could see that happen. I like that call. I like where you're going with that.
Yeah, and
It'll be interesting. I agree. I think JT, and it's weird. We'll go through like the majors and everything, and I was just looking at odds real briefly, and obviously they change throughout the year. But JT's like barely top 10 in certain tournaments and not in others. You're getting at least 15 to 1 or better odds in certain fields. He's going to win at least one major, I think. Like, you're going to get your money back. Bet all four, I have a feeling. But that's a whole other podcast. Who is your rookie of the year? This could be weird. Like, I pulled up the rookie of the year's first timers on the tour. Obviously, Victor Hovland's the favorite. If you want to pick him, that's totally fine. Who do you like for rookie of the year?
Yeah, I mean, that's who I had down. I think it's the obvious choice. When you look at that list, I think there's 21, 22, 23 rookies or whatever. I was surprised, first of all, that he's even eligible. But either way, he just, to me, stands out above the rest. My dark horse pick, though, is one Christopher Ventura.
I like that. His teammate.
Fresh off the whatever it's called now, the Corn Ferry. He's a corny.
He's a corny.
So he's a guy who who's got a lot of game, and be interested to see if he can put it together this year. But I think Hovland's the easy kind of choice on that, and it's hard to see him really not winning Rookie of the Year. Just obviously depending if he doesn't play very well, that will depend. But
it's going to be hard to see him not play well from what we saw. So for Victor not to win, it's almost like I feel he has to have an injury of some sort. Because he's going to play a lot. He's going to top 10 a handful of tournaments, if not win a couple. It's going to be hard for him not to do it. So I'm with you. I think he's the heavy favorite. I like the Ventura call. We were talking about him kind of in the swing season a little bit. He's a birdie machine, kind of a chip off of Victor's block. You know, both Norwegians, both Oklahoma State guys. I do like that call. My guy is a guy we played a ton in the swing season, and he torched the end of the corny season. I think Scotty Scheffler is an interesting guy that can give Victor a run for his money. Scheffler is a birdie machine. We know that where these rookie of the years really strive are in those events where the big boys don't show up.
Yeah.
Those events are usually birdie machines. So like it lines up for Scheffler's game. I like that quite a bit. That's why Victor is better, though, because Victor, we've seen him compete with the big boys. I don't know if Scotty's quite there yet, but in those birdie fests, I think Scotty could really get going and make it an interesting rookie of the year vote. All right, breakthrough player. This could be interesting. Like Sungjae, you mentioned him as a dark horse. That could be a breakthrough in itself. What kind of breakthrough player do you have?
I mean, I've got Byung-Hun An written down. I feel like he's kind of like the Finau of last year. And so I think he breaks through and gets a win this year. I mean, but then again, it might have already been settled with Brendan Todd winning two tournaments, in the fall. So, he would kind of be the lead candidate for that at this point.
Heck, he's probably the lead for player of the year right now if we had to vote. That's the bananas part about it all. I do like the Benny on. He was very close at times last year. We saw him in the President's Cup here recently. For me, I wanted to say Tony Finau just because people, I think, are going to push him aside because this time last year, we were all anointing Tony Finau the next big thing. And he played really well last year. He just didn't really go above and beyond. So I think he's kind of quiet, but he probably already has broken through, so it really doesn't count. My guy would be Abraham Answer. I was a big Abraham guy. I know you were on him a bit last year. In certain tournaments, he really shined. He played phenomenal at the President's Cup, and that's going to make more people pay attention to him, which kind of stinks for guys like us that kind of want to go through the weeds and enjoy his low ownership. But I think Answer is another one of those guys similar to Benny on. He's like a mini Xander to me, where he's like a year or two behind where Xander was. He's going to surprise some people with some good finishes and maybe sneak in a W. I like Answer as my breakthrough guy.
I can dig it.
All right. Let's talk majors. Four majors, as always. Starts out in April, April 9th to the 12th. The Masters. This is a fun one. Always a course history machine at this one because it's obviously played at Augusta every year. What do you have on the Masters, Jesse?
I think it's Rory's year, man. I think he finally gets it done. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of it's just been coming for so long. I just think that he's kind of at the age now where he's a lot more mature, and it's just time for him to get it over with.
I love the Rory call. He's 10 to 1 currently at one of the books. I think that's a good call because he's so locked in right now. It is very intriguing. Another heavy favorite. He's 12-1 right now. I think what we saw in Australia really got my hopes up for a bounce back season. And we know how well he plays here and how he was so close to doing it until he fell down some steps. I think Dustin Johnson, really gets it back and wins the Masters this year. Cause he showed some things in Australia that I think he's gonna be healthy. I think this weekend in Hawaii is going to be very big for him. So I don't mind DJ at 12-1. If I was going deep odds, just if I was playing strictly an odds play, Finau at 40-1, who like T5s her all the time, is crazy good odds. Like that's stupid odds.
It's just hard for me to see Tony getting his first.
I agree.
Win at, you know, I know he's got a win on the PGA Tour, but it was in a secondary event. Yeah. Anyways,
Puerto Rico.
It's hard for me to see him. You know, getting that first big time win at a major. I feel like he just got to take some baby steps there. But I like the DJ call, man. Can you imagine this year if we get a healthy, good playing DJ, Brooks comes back, Rory's there, Tiger's there, JT's playing good golf. I mean, you know, it could be an absolute – I mean, I can't wait for the Masters already, and we're friggin' 4 months away, so –
You just said I can't wait for the Masters. I just got chills. Like so, it just tells you how much we like golf on this show. But like the commercials are out already.
That's what I was going to say. I know you've seen the commercials already.
The azaleas are in bloom. The birds are chirping. It's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a good one. And I think I wouldn't be shocked if this is the year because we have when we talk about the tournament champions, there were 15 first time winners, and there was a lot of young studs we talked about, and there's some like Answer that didn't, and Benny on that didn't win. Like there's a whole fleet of really good golfers, and it's almost like I wouldn't be shocked if these big boys kind of make a stand this year. And now that they know the schedule and they kind of plan their things out a little more, and since they have to play all these tournaments every 3 years or whatever, I wouldn't be shocked if we see some of these big boys kind of make a statement this year and say, no, we're still the top, you know, 10 in the world. So stand back, but we'll wait and see on that one. The next would be the PGA Championship at Harding Park, just down the road, a couple hours from me in San Francisco, California. Hosted the President's Cup, hosted some WGC match play events. It's a very intriguing, very nice golf course. It fits all types of players, depending on how accurate you are. What are you looking at the PGA?
I like Justin Thomas to win that tournament at this point. His game sets up well typically for that type of tournament. It's not as hard as the U.S. Open typically, although they can make it pretty difficult at times. But I feel like he's got that type of game that just suits kind of the PGA Championship and the way they set things up. So, and obviously he's a past PGA Championship winner too. So, but anyways, JT at this point is my pick to win that. 5 months in advance.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, these can change when we get closer to the event, folks. But I like JT. This is one of those. He's 16-1. Like, I think those are great odds right out the gate. Because for him, if we want to pick him towards that tournament, they're going to be better than 16-1 by the time he gets there. You would think. Because if we want to pick him the week of, he's probably playing really good golf. I'd imagine just single-digit odds. So 16-1, that one stood out as big. And this is one of the two majors that I could see Xander potentially competing strongly at. And he's 30-1 if you feel like taking the bait on that. But I like JT. I'm with you as well. 16-1. Big fan of that one. All right. We head to the U.S. Open in June at Wingfoot up in New York. Going to be a fun tournament there. The last time I was there, the winner was +5. I doubt it's this hard after all the scrutiny they've got. But then again, Pebble, people complained it was too easy. Who knows? Who really knows anymore? Who do you like winning the U.S. Open?
Hey, just give me Brooks Koepka every year from here on out at the U.S. Open until he retires.
He's so mentally strong. It's crazy.
Well, that, but, you know, hopefully, he's 100% healthy at that point and playing some pretty good golf. But, you know, he's almost won 3 in a row. So give me all the Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, it's hard to argue Brooks. I like DJ at 9-1. Brooks is 8-1. DJ, I think this is one of those we could see the Bash Brothers duking it out again, just like we did a year ago. I think there are 2 years ago. I think there's a lot to like there with DJ in this one as well. But for me, this is one, and I just mentioned how Brooks is mentally tough. I know this guy can be a mental midget, but I think we saw a big change towards the end of this year and how good he really, really played. I like John Rahm. I like John Rahm. So he's 20-1 odds. I think he can bang it. He can play certain shots that a lot of the big hitters don't play. So I like Rahm at 20-1 at Wingfoot. I think that'll be his first major of his career. So
I like it.
Yeah. I'll be going on a limb on that one. And then lastly, the Open Championship. I've admitted it many times on the show, my favorite of the four. I love the Masters, but something about nasty weather, links golf, and waking up in the morning and having coffee watching golf, I love everything about it. It's in July at Royal St. George. We know we had Shane Lowry win last year in Ireland. That was amazing to watch as a fan. What do you like for the Open Championship?
I wrote down Tiger Woods.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
You know, it's one guy we haven't mentioned so far, and obviously this past year's Masters champion. He was in a duel with Molinari there at the Open Championship a couple years ago. So I think Tiger. It's hard for me not to see him winning a major this year. And I just kind of pegged him for that one because he has played well across the pond.
Yep, he's 20-1. If he can figure out his can't play well on cold situation, he'll be just fine. That's the one I'm curious
maybe
about.
Maybe it's not cold. You ever heard of global warming, Bubba?
No. Oh. That's the wrong podcast. I got so many things on that, but we're going to leave that one alone. But this is the other one. I mentioned two events. I got Xander winning this one. 28-1 on.
Oh, damn.
I like he's played phenomenal in majors. He's been really well in big events, and he's played well in the Open. So I like Xander at 28-1 in this one. I told you when I picked my player of the year, I had a couple comments for Xander coming up.
Yeah.
And there's two tournaments I like for him a lot, majors-wise. This is the second. I think he wins this one. So I'm going on my Xander. If people listen to last year's preview, I did the same almost thing for Finau. It didn't work out so well. But Xander seems a little mentally tougher. He's actually won some of these events that Finau has not. So I'll take that grain of salt with me. All right. After the majors, we got a couple or one more big thing. We'll go back and forth. We'll do one each. Let's give three bold predictions for the upcoming 2020 season. Start with your first one.
So I'm not even sure that like this is even going to happen, but my dude Kiradek Appy Barnrot's going to top 10 at the Masters this year. Just the reason I say I don't know if it's going to happen, because I don't know if he's even in the field. But
I was just about to say, is he qualified?
I don't know. That's the question. But if he's in, he's top 10-ing. So just go ahead and lock button him at the Masters.
He loves doing that kind of stuff. But like WGC, all these events where people are like, oh, no way. He's a small field events. He does it. He's the barn rat. My first one, and this is going to – trust me. I've talked about how much I love the swagger of Brooks Koepka. My first one is Brooks does not win one event at all in 2020. Zero wins for Brooks Koepka. And I know it's hard to win in golf, but when we're talking Brooks Koepka, you expect him to win at least once. So I'm going zero wins for Brooks Koepka in 2020. That was tough for me to come.
That's bold.
That was tough for me to say. It was really because I love the swagger. What's your number two?
Tony Finau wins a tournament. I feel like that's a bold call at this point.
It is, because sadly, last year I think I had him winning three tournaments.
Yeah, and I had him winning a major and everything.
Yeah. Like I said, is if we really looked back at Tony's season, it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't what we want. He needed to take that next step. He didn't take it.
Right.
So, yeah, I like it. I'm rooting for it. We'll be rooting for it on the show. So that's for darn sure. My second one, there was 15 first-time winners last year. I mentioned how the big dogs want to play. I still think, and this could be simple just because of some of the smaller or goofier tournaments, I think we see 10 more first-time winners this year with these cornies coming up. So going on a limb, 10 first-time winners. Finau won the Puerto Rico, but I'd almost count it as one if he won a real tournament. But 10 more first-time winners this year. All right, what's your third bold prediction?
Phil Mickelson makes the Ryder Cup team.
Oh, that is bold. As a captain's pick, I'm assuming?
Either way, I'm not saying how. I'm just saying he makes the Ryder Cup team. I mean, there's a couple of things with that. I think he is a legitimate captain, depending on how he's playing. He was not playing nearly well enough in the President's Cup this past year. No. He did put out a new Twitter video today where he was working out very hard. And I don't know if you've seen him, but the dude is getting ripped up.
He's jacked up, man. It's not just so eventually
he'll figure out how to swing a golf club with his new body. And so once he does that, I feel like he'll be playing good enough golf at the end of the year there. I feel like they need some of that direction on the team, going against the Euros. I know it's a home event this year, which is obviously very good for us, but we just need some leadership is what I'm trying to get at.
I feel you. The President's Cup was nervous enough. It was nerve-wracking to watch that take place, but that's a bold one. I like it because I think Phil's just kind of pinpointing his tournaments. He's getting ready for the Senior Tour, but you know he does want to play on the Ryder Cup, so that's an interesting one. I like that. My third one, and I said it out the gate, I got one. It's almost like my Tony Finau pick last year, but Xander wins at least three tournaments, and one of them is a major. So I think Xander has the big year, and that's why I think he competes with Justin Thomas for player of the year. That's my dog. That's my guy. All right, enough preview talk. We'll talk all year about every tournament each week on Monday nights on the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. So let's get at it. Century Tournament of Champions, Jesse, 2020, 34 players in the field. Give us some past event history.
Yeah, last year, Xander Schauffele was your champion, 2,300 par, one shot over Gary Woodland. 2018, Dustin Johnson won this tournament for the second time, 2,400 par, eight shots over John Rahm. JT won the tournament and then went on to the other island. I guess it was the Big Island from there and won the Sony Open that year. But anyways, Justin Thomas, 2,200 par, three shots over Hideki. Jordan Spieth won the event in 2016. At 30 under par, eight shots over Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed has actually won this tournament before. He's not in the field, though, this year, is he?
I believe he is, actually. Yeah, he is. Yes, he is.
He won last year.
Yep. So, he ain't missing free points and free money. Mama's not letting him miss that.
Well, I mean, I don't blame him either. I mean, hell.
I don't know why, but
I really don't know why you'd ever miss this tournament. Like, you get to go hang out in Hawaii.
Unless your name's Tiger Woods, I guess.
Well, I mean, he's got – when you have everything, you don't need anything. You know what I mean? But that's pretty much it for the rundown there. So like you said, DJ's won it twice. Zach Johnson won this once. Jeff Ogilvy won it twice. But that was a long time ago. So,
anyways. And I want to give these stats out and I will give the proper due to who it was. It was Kenny Kim, who, if you listen to this podcast, you probably know who he is. He tweets out a lot of really cool kind of stats and trends for the event. And some of these tournaments do have some good history, like Jesse was mentioning. So I wanted to throw it out there. Since 2013, only six golfers have finished top five in their first start at this golf course. Americans have won the last nine tournaments here. Only five non-U.S. golfers have finished top three since 2011. And eight of the last nine winners the following season have finished T7 or better in the last in their next year defending their championship. So guys that play well here usually tend to play well here. That's why I wanted to mention that with those trends there. When we're talking about a course preview, it is the Plantation Course at Kapalua in Maui, Hawaii. And it's a fun one. It's a par 73. Don't see that every day. Almost 7,600 yards now. They have lengthened it out a ton. It's really cool because there's only three par threes. There's four par fives that are very, very gettable. And there's six, or there's total actually four, let's seven, do the math, 11 par fours. But six of the par fours are under 400 yards. So there is at least 10 holes that you can attack with wedges or better and get really good birdie chances. So a lot of scoring takes place here. This course, it seems really long, but it's not because, one, there's tons of elevation changes. Like, you'll see guys hitting 400-yard drives on a 500-yard par 5 because the ball just rolls for days. The fairways are very slopey and undulating, so you get a lot of weird stances. So you kind of want to know where you're hitting it to so you have a good approach in. The greens are rather large. They redid the course in this offseason. Corin Crenshaw came back and renovated it. They made the new greens are TIFF Eagle Bermuda, which makes them a little firm and faster, but at the same time, it might sprinkle a little bit this week. The greens are large. It took a little of the contouring out of the greens, but still a lot of loopy putts you'll read about there. You need to putt well here unless you stick it real close. So there's two approaches to that. If you're a good short iron player or a wedge player, you might be able to put up a lot of birdies in this event. It's going to be windy this weekend, but the winds are coming from behind on most of the holes, which will shorten the course even more, at least on the early outlooks for this. Other than that, there's wide fairways, but they're firm and fast. So if you hit them too much or they start spinning too much, they'll roll through the fairways. So these guys know, we've seen DJ almost hole in one on par four. There's certain ones you can just go crazy and go for. There's other ones you got to be smart, but in the end, ton of wedges in, ton of short irons. Lots of good putting. Avoid the three putts, birdie or better type stuff. It should be a fun one in Hawaii. With all that being said, Jesse, what key stats are you looking at this week?
strokes gained luck, that type of stuff. No, I mean, like, this is difficult because a lot of these guys have been off for a while. So using a lot of the eyeball test, guys that I saw playing recently, especially in the President's Cup. But I typically weight greens and regulation, all the long-term stats versus the short-term stats on Fantasy Labs. And then there's plenty of course history to deal with here too. So quite a bit of that. But greens and regulation, driving distance is a key here. I mean, you can pretty much hit it wherever you want to. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, definitely. FanShare Sports, go check them out at fansharesports.com. They got new stuff coming out for the PGA Tour season. Go check them out. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, one word, for 20% off the package of your choice. We'll come back next week with more info for the Sony, but right now with such a long layoff, like, it's a lot of grain of salt type stuff, like Jesse said, so I don't want to feed you a bunch of names when in reality some of these guys haven't played in like 2 months. So it'll be really interesting to see how that all comes out. But go check out FanShare Sports. We'll have a lot more starting next week at the Sony with those guys. All right, let's get into the DraftKings. It's like I said, 34-guy field. This will be nice and simple situation here. You got four guys over 10K, Jesse. You got John Rahm at 11-4. JT at 11-2, like you mentioned, loves this place. Xander, the defending champion, at 10-6. And DJ down to 10-1. DJ is the fourth highest priced player, which is pretty wild to think. You can't argue it with who's there. That's pretty wild to think about. What do you like up here?
I mean, obviously, that all these guys are playable above 10K. My favorite, though, is John Rahm. I feel like he's playing the very best at this point of pretty much all these guys. Two straight wins. I mean, you know, pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then he's played well at this course, you know, in the past. He did finish eighth here last year and second the year before that. So give me John Rahm. I think your dark horse, and you'll probably mention him, is DJ. Obviously mm-hmm. won this event twice, but coming off the injury, he's more of a risky type of play, GPP for sure, which we don't condone cash games. This type of event anyway, so he'd be kind of the GPP lean. I think JT will be the highest owned probably in the whole entire field.
Yeah, JT should be the chalk. We will have that FanShare info for you come Wednesday. If you have any questions, hit us up in the Slack chat. We can get you in there for free. FantasySportsDegens.com at FantasyDegens on Twitter. Get you in the Slack chat over there. JT should be the popular play. He's a great play. I don't hate it. It's just in a field like this, if you're going to eat JT chalk, you better win the darn thing. That's very simple. If he doesn't win it, you're still behind the field pretty much. I love the John Rahm call. I'm a big John Rahm fan. I think at 11-4 with JT being popular, I think you get low-owned John Rahm. You mentioned two straight wins, European Tour Player of the Year, coming in just in phenomenal form at 11-4. I like that a lot. And then like you also said, you can't argue any of these guys up here. I think DJ's interesting. You got to still worry. Like the President's Cup's one thing. We're just playing a round here and there. Four straight days over in Hawaii. Long course. You never know how that knee's going to hold up. But if he's there, I think he's ready to play. I'll take that. I'll say that much. And, of course, I love the X-Man at 10-6, defending champion. I figure he T5s or better at this event. He loves this course. But for me, if I'm picking one guy, it's John Rahm. I'm 100% with you. I think current form-wise, there's not many guys better in this field. 9K range, Patrick Cantlay at 98, Fowler at 95, Woodland at 93, and Patty Reed, $9,000. Who are you targeting in this range?
Gary Woodland, first and foremost, at 9,300, second place here last year, and had a good fall swing, fifth and third in his last two events on the fall swing there, and that kind of Asian fall swing or whatever. So he's the main guy that I would be focused on in this area. I'm kind of confused by Patrick Reed's price. I guess the reason why it's kind of driven up there is, because he's won here and then he finished second the next year. I mean, he didn't impress me. He didn't impress me at the President's Cup. I mean, obviously he did win his singles match. But I don't know. It's, you know, I feel like he's overpriced. And so when I say that, that means, you know, you might be able to grab him. Everybody else is going to think that. So you might be able to grab him at some lower ownership in a GPP. So keep that in mind. I'm just not a huge fan of him. But Gary Woodland for me, first and foremost in this range here.
I do like Woodland a lot. If you think of a guy that could take advantage of a course that looks long, but plays short, because the role Woodland's stinger is going to go a long ways with this course. We saw him do it in Australia, similar situation, hit it to certain spots, let it roll out. He played it very well. Same thing here. That's why he finished second last year. He's finished 13th the time before that in 2014. I think Woodland at 93 is a great play. Reed's a guy, I'm not on him right now, but if it's super low owned, I will be. And that's why I was on Reed a lot last year, because he was super low owned. He was playing good golf.
People hate him.
It's hard to ignore that. Like, you know, I'll take if you get Reed low owned, you can play chalk everywhere else. It's that simple. So it's something to keep an eye on. I like Woodland a lot, and I like Ricky Fowler. He came back and played pretty well in the President's Cup. I did like what I saw there. He got a ninth place at that good old Hero tournament. But he's played here three times, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. He's played very well at this tournament. I think Ricky kind of wants to remind people that he's still one of the better players in the world, and this is a way to do it. So Ricky at 9,500, I think, is a play I'll be getting behind in that 9K range. 8K range, you got Paul Casey at 88, Morikawa at 86, Cooch at 84, Champ 82, Brendan Todd at 81. I can't wait to see his ownership. And then Neiman at 8,000. What do you like in this range? Because it's kind of one of those ranges I think might get a little overlooked.
Yeah, I like this range quite a bit. I think there's several plays here. Start at the top with Morikawa, 8,600. Never played here before, but the guy's is just played really well since basically he started on tour. Very consistent. Cameron Champ, too, at 8,200. He finished 11th here last year. Obviously had the win in the fall swing. And then missed a cut the next week, but then three straight top 20 or top 33. So I think Cam Champ, this type of course suits the way he plays anyways. And we know he can get the ball out there. So, at 8,200, I like him quite a bit, him and Morikawa. I mean, I don't have to do with Brendan Todd at 8,100. That's really the thing is like he has played here in the past. He put in 2015, he finished eighth. So it's not going to be his first go around, and he's obviously playing really well.
I'm more concerned about Todd being pretty darn popular.
You think he'll be chalky?
Yeah, because people really started jumping on that bandwagon towards the end there.
All right. Well,
that's my only concern.
Yeah, it's just for me, and maybe it's just my own interpretation of, and the way I think is like when I see Brendan Todd 8,100, like the last thing I want to do is play Brendan Todd 8,100 in this field.
I agree, because there's a lot of 7K guys I think are equal to or better than Brendan Todd. So I can get with you there. So maybe he does come in low owned.
Yeah, I mean, it literally could go either way.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely.
I mean, that's why it's like it's good to keep up with what FanShare does. See who all is. Or to see how much he's getting touted, because
it'll be interesting to see.
The form, obviously.
Yeah, and you never know. He's taking a few weeks off. Maybe the shanks are back. We never know. So I hope not. I'd like to see him keep playing well. So we'll see how Todd plays. For me, I like Morikawa. Really good approach game player. Should play well in a field like this. And I love Cam Champ at 82. A guy that can just utilize his driving. If he's not completely all over the place, it's great. There's no cut, so if he has a bad hole or two, it doesn't kill you. He can get birdies in bunches, wedge it in. I think Chan's a really good play in a no-cut event like this at this kind of course. So I came in 82. And then if you kind of want just a consistent, steady player that probably finishes, 11 under and gets you a top 10 possibly, Cooch is there at 84. I'm not going to ignore him. Morikawa and Champ are the sexier plays. Cooch might get overlooked in this range, and he's a guy that's not going to blow up holes. He's going to get you probably four or five birdies possibly around, which actually puts him 16 to 20 under. He's just that consistent type player that doesn't usually kill you. So I think Cooch 84 is an interesting kind of under the radar might not be the right word, but in this range kind of gets overlooked a little bit. All right, 7K range, Matty Wolf, 7,900, Connor, 78, Kiz, 77, Reeby, 76, Kevin Knott, 75, Poston at 74, Fratelli at 73, Palmer, 72, Munoz, 71, and Mitchell at 7,000, the deepest range in this field. What do you like in here?
It starts top with Kevin Kisner. Just looking over some course history stats that I usually look at every tournament, he stood out. Semi-successful here. He finished 17th here in 2018, but he did finish 9th in 2016. Obviously, a 17th place finish is typically good, but when you only have 30 golfers in the field, you're basically mid-pack. So a top 10 is obviously still very good as well. His form coming in is not great, but obviously has been laid off for the last month. And hopefully kids can kind of sneak in there under the radar. I doubt he'll be highly owned at all. JT Poston at 7,400, first time here, but had a really good fall swing. So I do like him. And then, you know, I mean, at this point, he's just, I guess, going to be kind of become a friend of the pod. I don't know what, I don't know how this happens, but Sebastian Munoz every week, just put him down, I guess.
I saw his price and like, okay, I'm not going to not have a lineup with him in it. So that's
right. I mean, 7,100, the guy makes a shit ton of birdies.
Shit ton.
Yeah. No cut event. I will play him. Yeah. Quite a bit.
Yeah, this is it's kind of our cure deck comments on the small fields. He just goes out there and with the whole DGAF, I'm gonna go get birdies as best I can. That's right. Munoz. That's what he does. So 100% with you. I'm gonna have a lot of Sebastian. Sebastian's in my core. It's gonna be I might have him in all three. That's just how it's gonna be. Munoz at 71, big fan of that one. The Chesticle 76, I kind of like on this one coming in really good form at $7,600. Gets overlooked quite a bit. Love the kids take at 77. Great course history at this tournament. You know, he likes those kind of island or oceany courses. So I don't mind that at all with kids at 77. And then the other two guys, Matthew Wolf, kind of one of those young studs that can go birdie crazy. He had a lot of top 20 finishes down the stretch in full fields. I think it's $7,900. He can be kind of a nice one. And then I mentioned you need to putt well here. So it really hurts Corey Connors. At the same time, there might not be a better approach iron player in this field than Corey Connors. Like, he's that good with a short iron and a wedge. Like, he's very, very good. So if he's putting it closer, the putting's not as important. So Connors at 78 can be interesting, but I love Munoz in this range. I think that's the go-to. That, like you said, he's somehow on this show, it's become Sebastian Munoz time.
Yeah.
And it hasn't failed. I'll say that much. Not yet. Hey, and it won't this week. He'll make all four rounds, I promise.
Knock on some wood, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
6K range. Adam Long at 69, another kind of cheap friend of the show. Graham McDowell at 67, Kang at 66, Lanto at another birdie machine at 65. He'll be in a lot of my lineups. T-Dunks at 64, Homa at 63. JB Holmes is the third cheapest player at 6,200. Good old Jim Herman at 61 and Trainer at 6,000. Couple names to like here that I like. What do you like down here?
Yeah, start with Adam Long at 69. Well, obviously, we talked about him quite a bit on the fall swing, and he had a pretty good run there. When he gets it going, he can play with these guys. Just obviously, big if on that. Lanto, another guy at 6,500. Talked about him quite a bit this past fall swing, and then Tyler Duncan at 6,400. Coming off a win at the RSM Classic, which I'm guessing that's what got him into the field because it's got to be because he's not won anything before that.
That's it.
So, 6,400. I mean, this is a very stars and scrubsy type of week. And you got to get down here somewhere. So those would be definitely my three: Long, Griffin, and Tyler Duncan. The contrarian approach will be to kind of go more balanced with your lineups. So keep that in mind. I would make them myself. I will probably make them both ways, or at least try to. But it's hard to avoid those guys at the top because JT, Rahm, and all those guys are playing so well right now. So, anyways, those would be my three.
Yeah, those guys at the top, the win equity at top, it's hard to ignore. Like, if you want to win a GPP, you're going to need the winner in this field. They have the win equity. That's for darn sure. So I don't hate that at all. I don't mind the Adam Long call. I love Lanto at 65, birdie machine. Big fan there. I like T-Dunks at 64, another guy that can get low in a no-cut event. And then Graham McDowell. I think he goes overlooked in this area. You might get low-owned Graham. He's finished 23rd at Withdrawal, 16th and a 15th at his last four events. Loves ocean courses. The wind doesn't bother Graham McDowell. It's supposed to be windy Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think Graham at 67 is an interesting punt play if you want him. Just for shits and giggles here, Jesse, I said JB Holmes is cheap at $6,200. Is he not cheap enough?
No. I mean, have you looked at, like, what's going on with him?
It's bad.
WD, missed cut.
I'm just thinking 6,200 for a guy we've seen compete in, like, President's Cups or Ryder Cups at one point in time. It's crazy.
I mean, he withdrew from a no-cut event.
That's pretty bad.
But, I mean, he's never played well here either. In 2016, he finished 24th. 15, 33rd. 2009, 29th. you know, he'll be super low owned. So, I mean, if you want to be super risky, you know, to try to get him inside the top 10, I mean, because that's really what you need to win something, to win the big time GPPs with all the, with the big time money. You got to have just about everybody inside the top 10 and mostly probably 1 through 6.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be tricky. Yeah. I'm not on JB. I just wanted to talk about him because $6,200. Yeah. It's interesting. Very, very interesting. All right. Let's do a couple of quick deals here. 10K and above. Who's your number one?
John Rahm.
Yeah. I'm with you there. John Rahm for me as well. 9K range. Who's your number one?
Woodland.
I'm going to go Fowler, but like them both. Like them both. 8K, give me one.
Morikawa.
I'm going to go Champ in the 8K range. 7K, give me two.
Munoz and Kisner.
I'll go Munoz and Wolf. I'm going to go Munoz and Reavy. Munoz and Reavy for me. I do like Kiz. And then give me your top 6K.
Long.
I'm going to go Lanto just because I'm going GPP centric. But Long is a very probably safer play than Lanto. I definitely feel that way. All right, GPP. Three guys you'd start a GPP lineup with.
Munoz, yes. Obviously. He's got to be on the team. Cam Champ and John Rahm.
I got Matt Wolf, Munoz, Lanto. Just go big or go home. That's my theory there. So it'll be different now because we're not playing cash. If you have like a core three that you think you'll have in majority of your lineups, who would your core three be?
John Rahm. Just go right back there. Munoz. And that third one's tough. But like if I could fit in Woodland, I would.
Yeah.
I think it's doable. Yeah. If you do those three.
I think it's doable because I'm tinkering. My main three guys least, I want.
At least 7,400 per.
Yeah, you can make that work because you just do one more punt and then you get a decent one. So that's doable. My three is John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, Sebastian Munoz. Those are my main three guys. So I'm going to want a lot of those. Last but not least, in a no-cut, 34-man field, Jesse, who do you have winning?
You know, it's John Rahm week, I guess. Be interested to see how owned he is. But if you want somebody deeper, I mean, I don't know if you got the odds open. What's the odds on Cam Champ?
Cam Champ is 35-1.
Good Lord.
Well, John Rahm's 4-1.
Damn.
JT's 5.
Tells you how much I look at the odds.
Yeah. Well, you picked the right guy.
Those would be the two guys that I would look at, though. But it's hard to pick Cam Champ at 35. But it's obviously only 30-man field, so.
Yeah, anything can happen. Like, I like Ricky to have a good season. 16-1 in this field, I don't mind. You're just value-wise at 16-1. And then the other guy I looked at just strictly value-wise, I think Ches Reavy at 60-1 is a little too expensive. Like, I think he can get value because he's the same price as Matt Wolf, Dylan Fratelli, stuff like that. So I think Reavy at 60-1 gives you a little bit of value in that one. All right, Jesse, final thoughts as we wrap up our season preview, tournament champion preview, get ready for the 2020 season.
I don't have much about the tournament itself, but the Junkies League does start this week.
Yes. I always forget to lead with that. Thank you.
It's not the Tour Junkies League. It's just the Junkies League. So
yes.
Kevin's Delight, at Kevin's Delight on Twitter, a lot of years ago, just out of the blue, said, I want to start a league where we track, you know, basically DraftKings points on the, you know, for the whole entire year and you just accrue points and we get a winner. And then it's evolved from there. You got segment winners. This year we're taking out the WGC scores so they don't count towards the full season score because those scores are usually just over the top. But there's a segment for just that. There's a segment for just majors. So a lot of different ways to win. It's $100 and then free entry. In the past, we've done a $3 or $5 entry per week, but this year we're just going to go free. And no rake, just fun times and just a bunch of dudes who like to have bragging rights and try to win some money. I just donate myself, but most people try to win money. So,
yeah, I'm going to stay hashtag humble, but I've done pretty well the last couple of years. So if you guys want to come play,
I'd appreciate it. I mean, Bubba just absolutely rakes me over the coals.
It's been a good year. Let's put it that way. It's been a good year, but it's nothing, nothing great. So it's just fun. Like you said, the tournament's great. It's good people. Right now, or earlier today, I saw we had about 58 to 60. So that's a $6,000 pot. They keep getting guys. Like, it's going to be a cool pot. Like you said, weekly, it's free, but the accumulating points, lots of ways to kind of get your money back and do different things. It's a great, like, again, great group of guys. Jesse, Randy, and Kevin just do so much cool stuff with it. I'd highly recommend checking it out. You will not regret it. Everybody that ends up playing in them says it's great. I had a buddy play football for the first time. He loved it so much. He's never played PGA DFS, but he's going to try it. Like, he just loves, it. Like, he's like, I'm a degenerate. Let's just go have some fun. So
yeah,
and I highly recommend it.
As long as you pay before the tournament starts at like 3 p.m. Eastern time or whatever time, but whatever time it starts on Thursday, then, you know, you can get in. There's no like super hard deadline, but contest is already up though too for those who are in it. So hop in it.
Go check it out.
It's go time, man. From here on out, it's menu every week.
I'm pretty pumped on it. I've missed you. No, it's fun. It's fun talking our golf. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. Everybody follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Podcast at Always Press DFS. The website, Fantasy Sports Degens at Fantasy Degens. We know we're going to have our OAD picks and other stuff going on over there as well as the podcast. So go check all that out. I'm on Twitter at BDentric and hope you guys enjoy the week. It'll be a little prime time golf because it's over in Hawaii. So it'll be a lot of fun, but good luck and be smart. No cash games, please. We'll be back next week previewing the Sony Full Man Field. Until next time, good luck.